Hi, Robert. How are you?
Hi, Rhiannon. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. I'm wonderful, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Oh, my absolute pleasure.
Awesome. So I suppose we'll just start off with the introductory to your archaeological career. So what was it that actually drew you towards archaeology?
Well, I've always had an interest in history. Ever since I was a kid, I've had a really sort of deep, abiding interest in all things historical. When I was a little kid, it sort of manifested as Greek myths and legends that I became obsessed with. And then later in life, I really got interested in sort of medieval and Victorian culture. And so I sort of jobbed about through my 20s, and I got to sort of my mid-20s, and I decided to do something slightly more serious. So I enrolled in an archaeology degree at the University of Sydney.
Awesome.
And it was basically a case of me finding, well, it's sort of like my path found me, really, because now I specialise in what's called contemporary archaeology.
Yeah, okay. Fantastic. And so you're the only archaeologist to have worked in Chernobyl and Fukushima. Could you tell us a little bit about that? Like, what exactly were you doing over there? What did the work consist of?
Yeah, well, I started a PhD in 2010, and I'm just in sort of the final throes of completing it now, 8 years later. There's been a lot of change in the world between 2010 and 2018. But I started looking at sites of social decline and abandonment. I became really interested in what the processes were that would lead to a relatively young city like, say, Detroit, for instance. What would lead it to become known as one of the most desolate, abandoned landscapes that we have in the Western world. And that took me to looking at Chernobyl. And Chernobyl was a fascinating example of a 20th century disaster that was completely 20th century in its origin and design. It was a nuclear event. And it resulted in the death of a city which was founded in 1970. So the city lived from 1970 to 1986, and this is the city of Pripyat that I'm talking about. And so basically I started looking at these processes of decline and abandonment across the planet, and eventually it landed on a suite of four sites. So that's the Chernobyl exclusion zone, the Fukushima exclusion zone and wider Fukushima prefecture, Detroit in Michigan in the US, and a former housing estate in South London, which has since been demolished, which was known as the Haygate Estate.
Wow, okay. So you call yourself kind of like a bit of an urban explorer. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, well, I'm a member of the Explorers Club, which was founded in 1904 and is quite a prestigious organisation. And you essentially have to be voted in as a fellow international. And to my knowledge, I was the first urban explorer admitted.
Yeah, wow.
I may be wrong about that, but I'm definitely one of the first, if not the first. And I essentially go to places that have been built and then left behind, or they're at least left their first context, what we call their primary context. And so I go back in to rediscover the landscape after, say, 25 years of change, 10 years of change, sometimes only a few months of change, to re-understand the place and really find out what the reality of life in that place is in 2018.
Yeah, wow, fantastic. And so you just mentioned that you've recently become a fellow international of the Explorers Club. Could you tell us a little bit about the Explorers Club?
Yeah, well, the Explorers Club was founded in 1904 as a peer body for explorers who were undertaking really historic explorations, which have gone on to become myth and legend for us today. I mean, explorers from the Explorers Club went to the moon, explorers from the Explorers Club went to the South Pole, the North Pole, you name it. And so it's a very prestigious organization that was founded in 1904 and is headquartered in New York. And the New York headquarters are something to behold in themselves, because it's a proper old sort of New York Victorian building, which is absolutely stuffed full of taxidermy and various very un-PC hunting trophies. I was contacted by them in about 2014 because I had become relatively well known for my work in Chernobyl, and one of the explorers sort of approached me to become a member. And I never really thought that they would have me. And it turns out that they will. And that, yeah, I'm a very proud member of the Explorers Club. And we do tend to proliferate. There's a lot of us around. But as a fellow international, it means that I'm a fully sort of, you know, blooded member of the Explorers Club. And I am eligible to take the Explorers flag on explorations and all sorts of things. It's a fascinating organization to be a member of.
Yeah, wow, that sounds absolutely incredible. Congratulations for becoming a member.
Much.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
And I suppose to top all of that off, you're also a card-carrying member of the Satanic Temple.
Yes, I am.
Could you tell us a little bit about that, like how you first got involved in that, what that entails, how prevalent it features in your life, you know?
Yeah, well, basically, another chapter in my life is that all the way through my sort of late teens and 20s, I was quite a prominent occultist here in Sydney. And so I got to know people of every stripe. You know, I knew members of the Rune Guild, and I knew members of the Voodoo Temple, and I knew members of the OTO, and you name it. If we lit candles in a dark room, I tended to know them. And over the course of my academic career, I lost my faith, but I didn't really lose my academic interest in what I like to call adversarial culture, you know, like satanic organizations, fraternal organizations, groups that don't necessarily go along with the main doctrine or you know, zeitgeist at the time. And as a result, I encountered the Satanic Temple, who are relatively new. Satanic organization. We are a non-theistic religion, basically. It was founded in the US by a guy by the name of Lucian Graves, and Lucian essentially wanted to combat the encroachment of religion into civic life from the inside. So the Satanic Temple was founded, and so for instance in the US, in states where there is a real push to have, say, the Ten Commandments put up in the town hall building, the Satanic Temple will come in and say, well, okay, well, in the interest of religious inclusion, we would also like a statue of Baphomet to be erected in the building as well. Because, you know, there's a separation of church and state, but if we're going to have a bit of religion in the building, we might as well have a bit of, you know, a couple of religions.
Yeah, rather than just a singular religion.
But really, like, on a more serious note, the Satanic Temple is essentially a rational humanist organization. We've got a series of tenets. The first one and the last one are the ones that I kind of ring very true with me. The first is that one should strive to act with compassion and empathy towards all creatures in accordance with reason. So that means that we should really act towards every sentient creature on the planet as kindly as we can in accordance with our rational understanding of the world. And the final one is that every tenet is a guiding principle designed to inspire nobility in action and thought. The spirit of compassion, wisdom, and justice should always prevail over the written or spoken word.
Yeah, wow,
and
okay.
That is really what we stand for. So when you listen to, say, Judeo-Christian fundamentalist discussions on what a Satanist is, those are not the sort of things that we get portrayed as.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
So I'm very interested in sort of being a voice for the adversary and being a voice for someone who says, no, I want to live my life according to science and rational reason. Because according to our understanding of Satan and the way that Satan was inherited by popular culture, that in the original text it was meant to mean science and critical thought. It wasn't meant to mean evil. It was meant to mean that, you know, Adam and Eve thought for themselves and they were punished for it.
Yeah, wow. That's absolutely fantastic. So incredible.
So there you go. There's my sort of potted introduction to the Satanic Temple.
Yeah, no, brilliant. And I suppose just to finish it all up, do you have any upcoming projects, whether they're archaeological or satanic or anything else coming up soon?
Well, I am actually giving an evening talk. I don't want to say lecture. It's not a lecture. I like to think of it as sort of a one-sided discussion at Parliament on King, a beautiful little sort of cafe/slash bookstore on King Street in Newtown. And it's on the evening of October the 28th from 7 p.m. And it's sort of my alternate Halloween event, really. If you don't really want to go to a costume party and you don't want to do something big and loud, come down to Parliament on King on the 28th from 7, and you can see some of my pics from around the world, hear some stories that usually only academics get to hear, and I'll throw in a few spooky sort of urban legends about Japan and various places I've been as well. So
awesome.
It should be a good night.
Yeah, sounds incredible. And I suppose if people do want to dress up, they're more than welcome to.
They are more than welcome to. And if you want any more info on that, just look on the Parliament on King website on Facebook, their page on Facebook.
Awesome. Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us, Robert. It's been
absolutely
amazing.
Pleasure. Thank you so much, Rhiannon. It's been great.
Awesome. Thank you.